from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm a very disappointed Carissa Hendricks.
All right. Before we start the show, on a bummer note, I guess, I have to mention the fact that a couple of months ago, I had a fan that sent me some tickets, and she said, go see Prometheus. This is my... she even included two extra tickets as a bribe to say, I want you to do a show about Prometheus. And that was a few months ago. And we didn't use those movie tickets for Prometheus.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. But I'm going to tell you why. Because every single Prometheus showing out there, 3D. And that's not happening.
Yeah, it makes us nauseous.
Yeah, it gives me migraines. It gives me migraines. Like, I finally understand all of those whiny bitches out there being like, my migraine. I get it now.
It hurts.
That was awful. I felt like fire was coming out of the back of my eyeballs, and all I wanted to do is be like, I don't care if I don't ever see again. Just cut it. I don't want to feel the pain.
That's how we went to go see The Avengers. We had to go see it in 3D because I wanted...
The front row!
It came out on the same day as my birthday, so I made everybody go see The Avengers, and we had to sit really close to the screen because we were busy drinking at the bar down the street, and Jake pissed and moaned about it the entire movie. On my birthday!
It was pretty terrible, I admit.
You're a bad
person. But you know
what?
Let me tell you something. If you were in the front row in a 3D movie, already prone to being sick and shit, at one point I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to see everything blurry. That's how it is when I take off my glasses. Fine. That's how I'm going to see now. This is the future of movies, everybody. 3D. The other reason we didn't do the whole 3D thing is that they charge you extra for that shit. So it's not free movie. It's like, oh, you must pay an extra $6 to have a migraine later. Let me think about that
anyway,
one. Fuck you. That's my answer.
So we decided not to go see it in theaters. We decided to wait until it came out
in a format format that was legal, not like one of those telescreen horrors monstrosities
yes.
you have to watch. No.
So so that we could all legitimate this thing up. And we just watched it. Just now.
We weren't even sure if we were going to do a show after Carissa was all like, and I figured I'm going to pay later.
So Jake looks up everything before we see anything.
I'm a research
junkie.
But that's because it's my job now.
Which is cool. That's fine. But for some reason, I felt I had kind of heard through the grapevine because you can't kind of not hear things about upcoming movies.
Sure. Depending on how much you're actually looking. You weren't looking very hard.
I was actually deliberately trying to avoid it because I'm a huge fan of the Aliens movies. Huge fan
of
the Aliens
even
of
the
movies.
Third one? Like,
you know what?
Oh my God.
I didn't hate it. I know. I didn't hate it. I didn't like it. But
yeah, you know why you didn't like the third Alien movie, by the way? Do you know why the third Alien movie sucked? Because they changed the script every week.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. But I liked the texture of that movie. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, David Lynch is an amazing fucking director.
Yeah.
Of course you'd like the cinematographer. He directed Seven.
It's beautiful.
It's fucking Ford Fight Club.
Honestly, it was worth
gorgeous.
It for that. It was beautiful.
Sure.
Anyway, so I'm a huge Aliens fan. And I kind of thought, after my experience with the third Aliens movie, you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to the hype out there. Because I think that it's bad. The people are saying it's bad. I'm not going to listen. And then maybe I'll have a third Aliens movie experience where I watch and I go, it's not horrible. And then everybody...
You came at it from an unprejudiced
super
perspective.
Super unprejudiced and super hopeful. You know, I couldn't have been more hopeful.
Oh, yeah. And the night started off good. We had a few drinks. I made some homemade salsa and some guacamole and some chips. Everything was all set up.
We had a little sushi treat, too.
Oh, God.
Halfway.
Yeah, mid-movie sushi.
Everything. Perfect. All
fucking
set
awesome.
Up. I was relaxed. I had a nice bubble bath today. Everything was perfectly primed for us to enjoy this movie.
Okay, now before we start to actually talk about the movie, it's important for anyone who's listening right now to realize that the show is going to be boring if you haven't seen the movie.
Yes. Also, spoiler alert.
Oh, God,
we are going
so
to ruin
much.
This film for you.
If you actually haven't seen this movie, let me ask you this question, Carissa, and you came at it from an unprejudiced perspective. Is it actually worth going through it, or should they just listen to us, get the gist of it, get it over with? Get it over with through us. Well, let's give a person that a few seconds, a few moments to dwell on this when we actually, before we talk about the review and stuff like that, I want to just derail that for 5 seconds. Can I derail you without throwing you off on a particular point?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I would recommend that you don't watch the movie. At all.
And that was from an unbiased perspective.
That's an unbiased, just because I feel like our review will give you a good sense of what it was about. If you still want to watch it, that's totally cool. But it's 2 hours.
It's pretty long.
And it's really bad. I mean, for some reason, IMDb says it's a 2.5. It is not a 2.5. There were 3 separate parts in the movie. One about half an hour in, one about an hour in, and one hour and 10 minutes in, where I really wanted to turn it off. I was so fucking bored.
All right, 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 right. But we'll talk about those particular parts.
Oh, my God.
Don't get too into it.
Okay, I'm just saying, either here are your choices. Either you've seen the movie and we are going to give you a very satisfactory tear into it so you can feel validated.
Do you know what you'll have? You'll have that sensation when you drink a really cold glass of water on a warm summer day.
We're going to refresh you with our
delicious
shitting on this fucking horrible film.
Right.
Or you can watch it so that you can, you know, we'll explain things so that if you haven't seen it, it'll kind of give you some texture, some context.
It might be a long podcast as a consequence, but some of you, the ones of you that will appreciate this particular episode, that's what you want. Because you know what? Now there's so much content happening all the time that lots of people are just skipping some podcasts, jumping to others. They're just like, well, you know what? That one's not for me. That's how much there is now. So this will be for those people who just... They like when we're just fucking around.
And we will touch on the religious undertones in the film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's going to be tons of discussion. But so, I could understand those people being like, I haven't watched the movie yet, but you know what? I plan to. I'm going to put this one in the, you know, in the motherfucking bag and be like, that's on my list of things to do. Because we recommend you listen to this podcast right after, if even possible. If that's the decision you made, you're like, no, I'm going to watch the movie despite Carissa's thing. And you know what? I actually recommend you do watch the movie.
I commend you if you get through it. I really do.
I recommend you do watch the movie, and I'll tell you why. Just because you're going to see what the future is going to look like today. The aesthetics of it are pretty much all of the little gadgets. Yeah, we're going to want that shit. And plus now with 3D printers that are just now available. Yeah. You know what? That's the new Kinko's. You're going to walk down to Kinko's, and you're like, I want to build a robot. And here are the specifications. They're like, here are the parts. See you later. I build a robot.
So if you want to watch the movie right now, you can rent it on iTunes for $5. And then you can watch it right now. So you can pause this. And
there's going to be a link in the notes.
Watch it.
So
on iTunes.
Watch it there.
Yeah, okay. And then you can watch it legally, which is how we encourage people to enjoy content.
Right.
For legal purposes.
Exactly. For those exact reasons.
Yep. So there's no other way that you could see this except for through iTunes paying for it, right?
Right. There's absolutely no way. None of you know anything of what we're talking about.
So don't do those things.
Right.
Right now.
Public service announcement.
Public service announcement. So, okay. So we're going to get into this.
All right. Let's first.
Should we do it chronologically?
No. Well, I want to discuss a little bit about the movie beforehand. So for those of you that didn't know, Prometheus had been in the works for some time. Ridley Scott had been talking, I think, in the early 2000s about doing a sequel, or no, I'm sorry, a prequel to the Aliens movies. And this was even before the Aliens vs. Predator came out. There had been lots of talk about it. In fact, he had met with a couple of writers, and I bet you they probably had some kind of great discussion, because the next thing you know, he has essentially some nobody dude who he's working with, and we're like, all right, we're going to work a working script. And as time moved on, because it's, you know, any project that takes 10 years for you to develop is going to have a lot of fucking iterations. So by the end of it, everybody decided that it wasn't really going to be an Alien movie. Or was it?
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like it was trying to be an Aliens movie. And everybody talks about it like it's not officially a prequel. But it is part of the franchise.
Let me put it in perspective for you, actually, because this will simplify the whole affair, if you want to just sort of like bear with me. Imagine that you had a franchise like the Aliens movie, where some of the aesthetics were very recognizable, and you can say, I will create an entire movie that has the look and feel of it. You know where everything is ribbed for your pleasure, Giger style? Yeah. And decorate an entire movie. We're just ignoring the plot right now. I'm going to decorate this entire movie so it's going to have that feel. And then right at the end, I'm going to spit that alien shit right at you and be like, that's what an aliens movie is supposed to be like. It felt like when you were watching the Star Wars prequels, and right at the end, when they're like, Vader was Vader there. This is Star Wars, right, everybody? And you're like, what the fuck just happened? Is this a different movie now? What the fuck?
Yeah, it felt very... It was the same kind of fuck-up that the Star Wars prequels were. Maybe not quite to the same degree, because at least the sets felt real. But it was bad.
Here's the thing.
I think... No,
the
three quarters
of the movie was bad, to be fair. Because the first third was still captivating.
It wasn't that captivating. I didn't give a shit about anybody.
All right.
Okay? That's not a good movie. That's not a captivating movie.
So the first problem you're saying is what?
It was a beautiful film.
What is your first problem? You're saying the characters?
The first problem is I can't tell you anybody's goddamn name.
Oh, Shaw? Shit, that's true.
The character Shaw?
There was a Charlie.
David, there was a Charlie, and there was a David.
What about that guy who looked like he was from Shakespeare in Love? Who's that guy?
I have no idea. You know why?
He appeared like two-thirds of the movie and be like,
there
what?
There is... So they start this film off. Actually, I will say it was good for 10 minutes. I will say the first 10 minutes were good. Because the first 10 minutes are a beautiful landscape scene.
Oh, yeah. It almost looks like an alien.
Kwanaskwatsi kind of style visuals. Gorgeous. Just gorgeous, beautiful nature scenes. Then we see this weird humanoid figure kill himself and spew his DNA forth into the waters.
Spill his CGI DNA all over the
place. And then we get to see this like quaint little daily routine of this android character David. And then from then the rest of the film from there is shit. Shit. Everything before that is cute and sweet and feels
they're hooking you in the same style that 2001 A Space Odyssey did with actually that opening scene that you were talking about. There were a lot of odes right there to Stanley Kubrick. In a sense, I was actually anticipating a slow sci-fi movie, which I was still okay with.
I was super okay with that. That's what I expected too.
Slow, spacey. Of course you want your fucking space epic out there movie to be slow. Guess what? Everything in space happens at a slow pace.
And you know, the first little bit of the film, you can't help but be hopeful. I mean, it looks like it's going somewhere interesting. But here's a couple problems. The Star Wars, the first set of episodes, had some very important problems. And I think these problems are coming out of modern storytelling.
Right. Because failure to introduce a main character.
Incredible failure to introduce a main character. In the Star Wars prequels, you don't know who is your fish out of water that you're supposed to be following, who's going to explain to you what's going on.
Who's that guy from like that, you know, every single movie in history, maybe?
Totally. And in this film, so we've got... The first character we're introduced to is this alien who dies in about a minute. Okay, not our main character.
Very CG. He looked like he's on steroids.
Kind of cool effect, though.
Why was he so muscular?
I don't know. That's what they wanted. Maybe they thought they wanted to do an Avatar thing and make it like a beautiful alien thing, like with Avatar. I don't know.
I guess any alien that comes down, you have to want to fuck it if you want your movie to really be big.
I suppose either we want to fuck it or kill it. I guess that's sort of the sci-fi rule.
You do know that though, if aliens come down, those are our two options. That's how it's going to boil down. We're going to fuck it or kill it. Maybe both.
Okay. I just got a big window into your psyche. I'm just going to close that window up.
Close it. Close it up.
I'm just going to walk away slowly.
Walk away.
So, yeah. So, basically, we have a no main character movie. Because we get introduced to this character, this alien character. He dies. Then we get introduced to this David character, who is our android. And...
Who looks cool. He looks so cool.
Who we could empathize with.
Yeah, even though he has no emotions. That's what's great about it.
Yeah, like, he is very well crafted.
He could be your fish out of water because he's an android that has no emotion.
But then, almost instantly, as soon as he goes and wakes up the other characters, we never really see him again.
You're like, see you later.
We don't really... Now he's a distant relic. Like, before we...
Now he's a mystery.
We could see into his soul a little bit, and now we get no information about this guy.
No one's going to give... Actually, here's the thing throughout the movie. No one shares any real secrets.
Yeah.
And when they do, it feels forced.
Then we're introduced to this character who is supposed to be like our female Ridley... Like our Riley character. Am I getting that right?
Riley? Who the fuck is Riley?
from the original Aliens.
Oh, Ripley.
Ripley. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Riley? Can you edit that out?
Toy. No.
Oh my God, I'm super embarrassed right now.
Ripley. No, it's Riley.
This is how mad I am. I don't even remember. So they're trying to.
You're a little bit drunk, actually. I've been getting you drunk.
I'm sorry, I got the name wrong.
Don't apologize.
Take my geek card away.
No, we won't. Apologize. No penalization on this ship.
So they're trying to create basically a Ripley character, and they've got this strong female. They give her like this strong woman thing, but then she's just a fucking bitch, and we totally can't empathize with her. They try and make her interesting, but you know she's missing for 20 minutes in the film at a time. We don't know what she's doing.
Is everybody's missing. Here's what I think that it actually mirrors the prequels in some sense from Star Wars, in the fact that everything is, there's too many stories happening at once and you can't keep the pace of it. After the first third of the movie is over and they land on the planet, this is where things start to really fucking break down, where the continuity of what's happening between characters
makes absolutely no fucking sense.
Two characters, one of them, which at the beginning of the movie, you're led to believe he's almost a mercenary-style character. I thought he was going to be, you know, from the second Aliens movie. Do you remember there was a bunch of Marines on the ship?
Peter, are you talking about her lover?
No, I'm talking about the redhead dude that had the tattoo.
Right.
Who halfway through the movie, you're like, oh no, I'm a geologist. Wait a minute, you looked like you were just a fucking soldier, and I'm sorry to say that in movie you work with stereotypes. When you establish a character who looks like he has no sophistication or intelligence, and raw violence and greed, am I supposed to suddenly believe that he's a geologist? Oh, he's in it for the money? Yeah, studying rocks, man. What
super
the fuck?
Super into rocks. Woo, man. Oh my God.
I'm going to make it, bitch. Right after that, I'm just going to retire on my geology.
Incredibly, no characters that are believable. We're introduced to this. I think Elizabeth is supposed to be the main character, Elizabeth Shaw, which is basically like this.
She's your budget Sigourney Weaver in the sense that she's not attractive enough to be the main lead in any movie, which is why she could be a female action hero. You're like, if you can kick ass, I don't care what the fuck you look like, you're kicking ass.
But her kicking ass is such a bland. Okay, so she's just awful. Okay, here are my three least favorite scenes with her.
Okay, what do you, first of all, no, forget the scenes. What do you hate about her character? Point out her character flaws.
Okay, there's a few problems. One, she's got the captain shoulder pads problem, right? In Deep Space Nine. Am I thinking the right one?
No, Voyager.
In Voyager.
I'm taking that geek card away. You're fired.
Okay, I'm sorry. In Voyager, we have a female character who...
Kate Mulgrew.
Who can't... She's the worst. They're trying to do a strong female character, and she's either a pussy bitch little girl, or she's a fucking man. They never figure out how to make her a woman... who is also strong. There's none of that Buffy the Vampire Slayer essence to her.
Right.
She's a bipolar bitch. She's either this manly captain or fucking Janeway, the sobbing vagina.
This is so fascinating. I'm so different now.
I hate that about that character. That made that fucking Voyager series unwatchable to me. This is why I don't know anything about Voyager, other than the 8 episodes I watched of her, including the ones with Q over and over again, because I love Q so much. But she's just like, they fucking failed so hard writing a strong female character with her.
Do you know? Do you know what is the best? This is weird, but the best female character in any position of authority is in a fucking nothing show called Hotel Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
She is...
Sexy, strong.
Oh, my God. I'm like...
Well-balanced, believable.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yeah, check out Hotel Babylon. It's
fucking tastic.
It's on the Canadian Netflix right now.
Do not watch past season 3.
Do not watch past season 2.
Oh, yeah, past season
1 and 2, and then pretend it just got canceled.
But this is a good example of how you can take a character, make her believably feminine, but without sort of like that, like you said before, the Captain Shoulder Pad Syndrome saying, well, we don't know how to write this, so why don't you just make her cold and distant and horrible?
I see that actually a lot in films, where you can't create a strong female character. Basically, so in this film, they have the problem of there's this Meredith character who's supposed to be like the bossy pants ship director, I guess. And she's just this vengeful
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, angry, bitch.
Actually, there's a scene I want to talk
empty
about in the
bit.
Movie.
Later. Where, later. Shut up. And then they have this Elizabeth character who's supposed to be the other strong female character. And she has that Captain Shoulder Pad syndrome where either there's a scene where, you know, her boyfriend is like talking about just some stuff and she's just like, well, I can't have babies.
Oh my goodness.
I can't have babies. And it's like, he doesn't say anything related to that. She pulls it out of nowhere. She's so fucking whiny.
No, do you know how they bring it up? He was discussing, like, these aliens can create life and just any old idiot could do it. But I can't do it inside of my infertile womb. I'm sorry. Okay. First of all, it's 2090-something. I think it's 93. Really? Throw some stem cells in there. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Impregnate her in vitro. I don't care.
It's 2093?
Yeah. By then... Yeah, because they leave at 2089 and it's 2 years and something, and by then it's 2093.
So it's not even that far in the future.
Nope.
Jesus Christ.
Right. But that's awful. Okay. That's okay. We'll forgive that date. Actually, here's what's interesting about here's what I wanted to bring up actually about that Charlize Theron character where they don't know what to do with her. There's a scene where she confronts David the android, and you know, Carissa and I were discussing that we couldn't quite identify the emotion that Charlize Theron was trying to display. It
no.
looked almost like lust, or was it anger?
It was like, I want to have angry sex with you.
Yeah.
You robot dildo. Like, it was weird. It felt...
And it was never explained or resolved. So annoying. And if they wanted to do a whole thing where... Well, he's a robot, and I can't have sex with him because I'm the daughter of this guy who won't recognize me as a daughter.
Oh, but they don't even reveal that at that point. We don't know that.
Right. But
and that's
they
revealed. Okay, so we can't get too far into this because somebody might not have seen the film. So we're just talking...
We already told them that by the time they listen to it and haven't seen it, you're stupid. We already warned you. You're not watching this
horrible
piece of shit movie.
No, I'm not saying that they should watch it. I'm just saying that you just brought something up that doesn't make any sense unless we explain it.
But it's not even important to the plot. That's why I mentioned
it.
If it would have been important to the plot, it would have mattered. But the fact is it's just an underdeveloped relationship. Actually, what happened to her, by the way? How did she die?
She gets crushed by the crashing ship. Because she can't move 2 feet to the left.
So stupid.
So, oh God, I just hate... Here's the problem, okay? If you create a character that is supposed to be... All these characters are supposed to be smart, right? They've been chosen for a mission to go to another planet. And they all act like emotional...
Potentially communicate with an alien species that would totally change the whole dynamic of the human race. So let's send a bunch of weirdos.
It's not believable that these people would be... stupid, irrational, evil fucking people.
Well, I want to actually talk about the Charlie character. Because here's the one thing I think is sort of... I don't know if it's just me. I have a really uncanny ability to recognize people's faces. Carissa knows this. But the Charlie character is invisible to me. He is... I can't even... He has... Maybe he was just because in a movie, normally, if you can't rely on a person's... distinct physical features to give them some kind of character, you rely on character or writing. Since that's not available, I'd like to see someone who at least has some character on their face. He was blankness.
Yeah.
He was like, if I would paint him, it would look like a big circle with white on it. And that's a Mighty Boosh reference.
It feels like they pulled him out of background talent. They were like, we just need a guy.
Can you get us a guy?
We just need a guy. What do you want him to look like? Like...
Well,
like
first he should
guy.
Look like a guy.
Can he look like any guy? Just any guy that right. you would never remember?
Hopefully, in that instance, if you can get me any guy, that means we won't actually care about him when he dies, because you don't. The entire time,
you don't care
when
anyone dies. Okay, let's talk about these fucking deaths, okay? So, we land on a planet... There is absolutely zero fucking reverence paid to the scientific achievement of, one, landing on another fucking planet.
Oh my God, we're on another planet.
And they take their helmets off and breathe in alien air and no one gives a shit.
Actually, the most insulting thing I must imagine, if you're a scientist watching that and you're just like, can someone please engage in some fucking science for five minutes?
There's no science happening at any point. No real sample collection. No...
There's no fascination with anything.
Have you seen any documentaries about any kind of science?
Look at a scientist
who... They find an amoeba and they shit their pants. No.
They find a triangular piece of dust and they're like, this...
Oh my god, oh my god. Oh my god, I'm so excited. And you know what? That's how you should be. That's totally how you should be with science.
That's absolutely normal.
And there's none of... Oh god, it's so... It's okay, so now we're at this point in the film.
They're not scientists, I'll tell you that.
They're clearly not scientists. We've got a bunch of geologists and biologists, and they never do any geology
or any
biology.
No, the biologist tried to touch a thing that looked like a giant penis that came out of blackness.
Fucking idiots.
He's like, wait, I'm a biologist. I'm going to try to touch it.
So they see this holographic image projected because supposedly the robot pushed some buttons and he knows all the buttons to push because
he's... Oh my god, they're the most
intuitive.
Sexual buttons you've ever seen in your
he
life.
He pushes
it's like
these buttons.
Pushing on silicone breast implants.
And then this holographic image appears and it scares the shit out of these two other characters who we don't give a shit about, and they get super pissed. They get pissed the way you'd be pissed if you were on drugs.
No, they get pissed in a way that you feel like there was a conversation that was...
You missed.
That you missed. You're just like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you guys have some animosity that should have been set up, say, 10 minutes before this whole thing so that we could have believed you saying, goodbye, everybody, we're going to split off? These two guys, by the way, where they establish this part where this mercenary man, who's actually a geologist, who actually looks like a character straight out of Gears of War 2, so I guess they have geologists in Gears of War too. But basically this science guy who almost looks like the main character from the Big Bang Theory, but except for a slightly larger, you know, with more hair. Mm. And he's supposed to be the biologist. So these two guys, they could have made a friendship between these two dudes. There was actually an opportunity where they sat down. One of them's like, hey, let's be friends.
They could have Rosencrantz and Guildenstern them. But they didn't.
Actually, they went the other way, where one character's like, I'm only here for the money, geology money. And then all of a sudden, now these two are paired together. And actually, during their pairing, almost a friendship happens. But then, you know, a whole bunch of stupid...
You are so grasping.
No, there was.
Almost a friendship.
They tried, actually. They were going back in banter and be like, no, you should help me. They almost tried to have a chemistry together.
Which, if they would have been friends,
would have been fine.
So,
and you would have cared about... friends dying, right? You would have actually cared, but they didn't even take that opportunity to make friends.
So basically, they see this hologram thing, and these two other characters are like, this is bullshit, and they get totally overreact.
I'm out of here, I'm scared.
I'm out of here, and they leave, okay? We don't hear from them. Nobody refers to them. We don't see any scenes with them.
You have no idea how they're going to head back, actually.
We would assume the same way that everybody else found their way
out
conveniently.
But the vehicles, though, are they going to leave with all the vehicles? Like, it's not even discussed.
Leave with one vehicle. You know what? That's stupid. You're just grasping again. So they're just going to...
Don't you call me stupid.
The assumption from everybody fucking watching this film is that these two characters overreacted. They're going to go get on one of the little dune buggies, and they're going to drive back to their ship, and they'll be fine. Because we don't fucking ever hear from
them
again.
That's what you think they're going to do, and have done.
But then, when we find out there's a storm, everybody else conveniently walks out, finds the dune buggies, no problem, and drives to the thing, and then we find out these other characters haven't returned because somehow they got fucking lost.
So lost, in fact, that they're back to where they started. And no, they're not even back to where they started. They're in the chamber they refused to go in.
That's later.
Yeah, that's later on, but why would they go even deeper in? The funny thing is they have these little... They're actually kind of cool. They're these little probe things that sort of fly around. And you know, map the cave. Yeah, they map the cave, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, that's kind of cool. So they have a map, but apparently these guys get lost.
They refuse to use the map. So now we're going to experience our first death scene. And what happens is two scientists who should be waiting calmly for a storm to pass so the ship can come back and get them so they can go home.
Right, the chicken shit guys who didn't want to go anywhere.
The chicken shit guys who overreacted at the little tiny, tiny bit of danger from earlier.
Which was a hologram.
They now see, first of all, the ground is crawling with life. And they fucking don't notice. Nobody notices until a like 2 foot long...
It's pretty big.
Snake creature, a penis snake creature, pops out of the ground.
It's very penis-y.
Super, super, super penis-y. And
pulsating.
This scientist calls back to the ship to tell them that this giant penis creature is here and decides to poke it.
Well, he thought it was friendly because it had this hissing sound about it. And you know what? When I see a snake
that stands and it goes,
and you're like, oh, it wants to play.
On an alien planet, these characters have been established as the Shaggy and Scooby-Doo of the crew, and they're going to poke this giant alien snake thing, and they rightly die.
Okay, he's a biologist. He knows how to handle it.
Now, here's the other thing I think that's really interesting about that one, that death scene. One dies because the snake thing kills him, mm-hmm. which is cool. The other one dies because he falls forward into the liquid that turns out to be acidic. They've been fucking walking around
touching it
for the entire first part of the film. In fact, later on in the film, they will trip into it and walk through it, and never again or before will this ever be acidic.
Do you know what that liquid is actually exactly like?
It's
the black oil.
It's convenience.
It's the black
plot.
Oil from X-Files. That's what it is. It's the black fucking oil from X-Files. In fact, there's one scene where the Charlie can't recognize his face even if you paid me money to try to. Has this little ant crawly creature thing that looks like it's in his eyeball. That exact same thing happens with black oil. So it's just cheap black oil from X-Files.
My heart is broken. So these are our first two deaths of this movie. Okay? You don't give a shit about this character's dying. In fact, we don't even have any information about them at all. We see them talk a little bit in the first part of the movie. 20 minutes later, we see them overreact. 15 minutes after that, we see them die. We don't give a shit about these people.
And they're so disconnected by the time that we're actually reintroduced to those characters, it now feels like a different movie. Because the previous pacing is sort of like, well, everybody's back in the ship and everything's all right. Oh, wait, no, it's not. What?
Yeah. They keep jumping between these feelings. There's never a feeling... At no point in the film does there any real tension. You're just kind of like, whatever, who cares? I don't care if these people die. The music in the film is so poorly done. Like, it's not suspenseful when it needs to be suspenseful. It doesn't really inform us as to how we're supposed to be feeling. It just feels like sort of bland, driving film music.
Right. Well, there's another really gigantic, massive plot hole that you could drive a bus through, which is actually the David character. Because the thing is, he could have been believable, as a HAL-like character.
This is the android, by the way.
This is the android. As a HAL-like character who maybe goes insane or rationalizes violence or whatever, which you could believe. That would be fine. But there's this scene where he actually contaminates a fellow crew member with this weird alien crap that he has no real understanding of what it will do. He has no way of knowing if it's going to actually infect somebody important on the ship that he's protecting. He has no information about anything, and yet he continually acts as though he does know things that he shouldn't know at any time.
Basically,
in the movie.
Basically, he's got the script tucked in his back pocket.
It's
the
yeah.
whole film.
He's like the Sherlock Holmes in the second Sherlock Holmes movie. He's read the script and he's magical now.
And he's magic. So that's our first death of the season of this film. Now we're about to encounter our second death. And what happens is we've got this forgettable fucking male character on the ship.
He's the Charlie guy.
The Charlie guy, the love interest, and
he's infected.
He's upset. He's super upset because he didn't find what he was looking for. Okay, first of all, yes, you fucking did.
Yeah, you found aliens.
You found all the things you were looking for. You should be ecstatic.
Yeah, he was like, well, I wanted to talk to them. First of all, you know that thousands of years have passed. You know that the odds of actually talking to them is remote.
You found out that your wild speculation based on a couple of cave paintings,
which you don't even understand enough about archaeology to know,
was right. You should be and he's
You're
just
like this conspiracy theorist who was right.
He's sitting there like with his hand.
I got drunk.
With his chin in his hand, like, oh, you bad day.
Right, and not only that, but there's actually vital information about how all of this is okay coming from his own girlfriend that he somehow avoided since they went back in the ship, and he's now been sulking in his corner while the worst girlfriend in the world was just hanging out in her corner.
So, and she's not even in her corner. He's by the pool table drinking his stupid face off. And David comes in, the android character, and he says, you know, some random shit, and he tries to get out of this other character, would you be willing to give anything to prove that you're right? Okay. Now, this line makes sense in that he's about to poison this other character. The android character is about to poison this guy.
To potentially bring up this life form that no one knows anything about.
Right, right. Okay, now here's the problem with that sentence. It sounds cool when you hear it, but then you have to realize, like, to prove he's right, he's already been proven he's right. Would you give anything to prove you're right? He's already been proven he's right. That line makes no fucking sense. So, this android character poisons him with a little bit of random liquid he found in the cave.
That he knows nothing about.
That he knows nothing about. And then this male character goes and has sex with his girlfriend. And then ends up...
I guess transfers the oil through his jizz.
Through
his
penis.
I guess it's an STD or something.
Gives her a penis STD from this tiny drop of shit. Then later on, they go into the cave to locate the other two fucking dead corpse people, and he dies. Because this little drop of crap that they put, the android put in his drink that they found in the cave, infects him, and then he dies.
He's dead meat.
Dead meat. Okay?
Well, actually, before he's dead meat, a dramatic scene in which the captain...
sets him on fire with a flamethrower. I hate this movie so much.
And he's like, do it. Why don't you just walk away? You know, go walk in a field and just let space take you.
I don't even want to talk about this film anymore. This is, it's so
bad. Well, you have to.
Bad.
I'm pressuring you. This is death number two.
This is death number three. And still, we don't give a shit. We don't give a shit about this death. We don't give one.
Well, he, you know, to be fair, it's just because he was so generic that you forgot his face right after he was off the screen. He had left no impression on you.
So basically what happened is this other character is now dead. This faceless, nameless, crappy, totally generic character is dead because he got killed by a flamethrower because he was infected by something nobody knew about. Now that whole crew that was out on this expedition is considered to be contaminated. So they go into this chamber thing and they're being cleaned, although we don't hear anything about the other characters.
Everybody's in weird separate rooms all of a sudden.
Yeah, we zoom into this Elizabeth character, and this Elizabeth character just happens to now be pregnant.
3 months pregnant.
Oh my God, because before she pissed her pants about how she couldn't have babies, now she's got a baby. So you'd think she'd be happy, but her first reaction is to scream and freak out and
she
be like,
she wants an abortion right now.
Me.
She's like, I want an abortion.
There's no proof that this is an alien. There's no reason for her not to believe that she's just pregnant.
It's 3 months after all, he says.
Like, it's fucking no reason for this reaction. And the David character wants to put her in cryostasis because...
apparently no one has the ability to perform an abortion.
No one can give her a C-section. Nobody can do it. So,
despite the fact that there's a giant medical machine, the way that they work out of that plot is it can only perform surgery on things with penises.
Yep, it's specific to men. So she changes the programming.
There's multiple women in there, by the way, on the ship.
So there's no medical assistance for any of the women
on
the ship.
Well, fuck them.
According to this thing.
Right.
They're fucked.
Just don't get injured or pregnant.
Welcome to the future.
Don't get pregnant in space because that can't possibly happen. No fucking, I guess. All your biological functions have to be shut down.
So she runs screaming to this. She just magically finds this pod. It's
after
only...
she knocks out two people who clearly wouldn't have enough power to be knocked out, and then would probably be like, security.
Yeah, she gets away.
She escapes.
Nobody's looking for her.
She escapes long enough to do whatever the fuck she wants to do.
And there's no reprimands for her bashing fellow coworkers.
Actually, nobody even really talks about it.
Nobody remembers.
It's like, did you punch me in the face? In fact, the person she punches in the face, I don't ever see again.
Yeah, you don't see either of them. They're probably dead. They probably died in that room, and that's just fine.
She kicked them right in the nose.
She goes into this room. She wanders into this room, and she
the surgery
finds,
room, the men's surgery
she
room.
She finds this like pod thing that can only do surgery on men. She pushes four buttons to change it so that it's doing like
a foreign
body and a man thing.
Well, there's obviously an alien invasion in my body setting.
Yep. And what it does is and you see all the things it does. It's not like they do like magic science fiction machine, which I would have been much happier with, because what you see is you actually see this machine.
It doesn't really look that advanced.
It doesn't look advanced.
We have more advanced forms of surgery right now than we do apparently in 80 years.
This pod provides a little bit of local anesthetic. Slices her stomach open.
Sort of, yeah. Like, the local anesthetic in the way that I'm like, actually, that looks more like the liquid you put on when you're disinfecting. Because local anesthetic doesn't really have a color.
So they put local anesthetic. They paint on local anesthetic. They cut her open instantly.
It's okay, though. She's got this morphine thing that she's constantly giving herself.
They use one of those, like, pinchy claw machine, you know, where you get the prize.
Yeah. No, seriously. It is literally one of those prize machines. I thought to myself, well, that looks like a really conveniently gigantic scoop. You know what? Honestly, if I was performing surgery, I would also use a giant scoop from the sky to take out delicately whatever alien mechanism that you're probably housing.
It rips her womb out of her body.
It's a pretty giant
wound. Holds it above her. She rips the cord out of her body to detach it. It bursts.
There's a lot of blood, I guess.
It bursts. She's just wide open. Her guts are hanging out everywhere. The womb bursts. A giant octopus jumps around a bit.
With a giant vagina mouth.
Then the machine staples her stomach closed.
Pretty huge staples. I've never seen staples that
big.
With
no cauterizing the internal openings, nothing whatsoever. Then she jumps out of the machine like it's nothing. And the machine freezes her baby, which is an octopus.
Looks more like it kind of just blew gas at it.
Blew gas at the octopus. And then, from this point on, okay, so she just had a C-section where all of the wounds that it opened up inside her are still open.
The funny thing, too, is it's the largest C-section I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God. Huge.
It was actually across her entire stomach.
It was huge.
Like, I'm sorry. Well, here's the thing. That's what happens when you press four buttons. It makes the surgery so huge. And, you know, C-section scars aren't along the stomach lining. They're sort of, like, right on the side where the hip bar is.
Well, that's what happens when you have a machine that's calibrated for men.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, from this point on, she's bleeding to death internally. But she managed to run, jump, have a fight. She lowers a man's body from a platform onto the ground. She,
from her hip.
She's climbing things.
Her barely
and
held
around.
Together hip.
So,
stapled hip.
As far as I'm concerned, at this point, she's dead.
Like, she should have died.
She should be dead.
In a sense, you know what? They wouldn't have left on it. We're going to make a second piece of shit movie right at the end kind of part.
What a fucking...
First of all, I hope she dies.
I just hope she's dead.
Because
so
you know
much.
What? Like, that's usually what happens in space when there are some alien creatures involved. But, okay, so that was the main character that you hate by the end of it, by the way.
You and hate her the whole
time. Here's the thing that you're going to hate also about her, and this is probably the reason why we were given the ticket, is that she is unapologetically Christian. So Christian, in fact, that wherever her stupid little cross is... She is. You know what I mean? It follows her unmistakably. Even the android one part has it in his utility belt because he really cares about
it. He takes it from her and then he carries it around.
It's important.
So that
she
can conveniently ask for it back later.
By the way, he's completely disdainful of her religion, so he would obviously keep it with him. He wouldn't have even put it in an airlock.
God.
And you know, there's this one part of the movie, and I thought that this was going to be the theme throughout, where her father, who's an evangelical, I guess, traveling to some country, who eventually gets Ebola because he's trying to spread his nonsense in the third world. In the future, I guess, you still get Ebola. Nice. This is also a future where which we can travel really super far, but the Ebola virus will get you. And... He's, you know, she asks, what happens when people die? And he's like, well, they go to maybe some heaven or something. She's like, how do you know this? She actually asks a pertinent childlike question. And he answers in that sort of like normal, I believe in fairy tales because I want it to be true. This is literally his answer. And this is kind of her answer, too. In fact, I'm like, I think you do need to take things on faith because there's so many actions from the characters, including three of the people that live on it that are in the ship. Some of which you've barely had any time to know, decide that they're actually going to suicide bomb themselves to stop a ship that they're not quite sure is going to do anything at all. And they're just like, fuck it, let's just kill ourselves because we're going to save humanity. From what, right? From an alien whose pertinent answer when they awaken him saying, why did you create us? Because the whole subplot of the movie is that we were seeded.
This is the whole... Okay, the whole movie...
Is up to this moment.
Okay, it's hard to tell the whole movie's leading up to this because it makes no fucking sense the whole time you're watching it. But you sort of kind of have this feeling
that... You're hoping.
That it's leading up to this idea of like, okay, so this alien race seeded life on Earth...
For a purpose, or they maybe had a reason. Yeah.
So, and this David character, this android character, has been studying all these ancient hieroglyphics so that he can... speak their language, which is so fucking improbable. It just makes me throw up in my mouth. And then they say, ask him why he created us. They ask him, and this, you're finally like, oh, this is going to be the
all
moment.
All right, here we go.
And it's quiet, and he looks at him, and it's all the... He brushes his hair, and you're like, you're going to get it. And then he rips the android's head off and kills everybody.
Yep.
End of movie,
people.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bam, bam. The answer to the existential question of the... posed by the movie is answered by an alien punching
people
in the
face.
It's
never answered. It felt so cheap. It's like there's no...
Remember that character who had a C-section that you hate? She's brought back to go meet the aliens because no one should bring an infected human being along with them. She's suddenly convinced that she knows that the aliens who created us now want to destroy us.
Yeah, from that scene, she's like, oh, they must hate that they built us. They're probably here to kill us. So they're going to come, they're going to kill everybody on Earth. This is what she decides now.
She knows this for sure.
He didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing, but all of the aliens that are on this planet have been killed.
There's 10 different explanations of what things are going on that I could just think of right now.
Go.
Okay, well, explanation number one. It could have just been that these little paws they have are life seeders, and one of them may be, you know, sort of like cracks or something like that, and because it's super life, it propagates and then kills them, right?
Okay, two.
Okay, two, the whole point of them having done this entire exercise is because they are genocidal monsters who want to take over sort of planets. But that could have been sort of... It's obviously not that because all of the people in the crew, all the crew members are somehow killed in a way that's mysterious, never explained.
Three.
Are you going to really... No, we're not doing 10.
I thought you said 10.
Yeah, but I realized this would actually take too long. We're not doing this.
Okay.
Two is good enough.
Two is good
enough. The point is... Even if those were non-plausible explanations, there actually isn't any plausible story in there. Like you can't actually dig in there and try to find some truth or some story arc where you know that beginning conversation where creative people get together and say, "I have an idea for a story." Okay, what is the overarching theme of the story? I feel like that conversation got fucking missed, or maybe they had an idea, but it couldn't translate its way on fucking celluloid.
Well, let me put it this way. If the overarching theme of the movie is that Earth has been seeded by aliens, all life
but
on Earth...
But still believe in Jesus.
No, yeah. All life on Earth has been seeded by aliens, but you should still believe in Jesus because it's a nice fairy tale. That failed. That story fucking failed. Because clearly... They try and convince us that these aliens now want to kill us. We have no reason to believe
why
that they want
mad?
To kill us.
There's no explanation as why they're mad. Well, they're confusing. They're punchy.
Super confusing.
They like to punch things. I guess that's why they have a lot of muscles and like the most sexual platforms I've ever seen in a movie.
Well, and here's the other thing. Maybe the overall species that seeded life on Earth wanted to seed life on Earth, and this is just a prison planet where they put psychopaths. Maybe that's what's happening. And now, at the end of
maybe
the
movie...
Maybe
they're terrorists, and they really hate the fact that their own species are spreading things. You know, that's the one thing about alien movies that people fail to realize, that, you know what, if there are aliens, do you think everybody has some kind of homogenous belief? Or that everybody's working with the same ends? Fuck no.
Like, an alien, the way they establish it in the beginning of the movie is that an alien had to come to Earth and sacrifice himself so that they could seed the planet. With his genes. That's how they decided to do it.
Space Jesus-y.
You think that they would do something that take... Like, that's serious.
That's a commitment.
That's a fucking commitment. And now they're just like, yeah, no, we don't like how it turned out.
And plus the alien ship that's there looks nothing like the other alien ships. So you have no way of even knowing if these are the same aliens.
This is the worst movie. This is so bad. This is such an unwatchable piece of crap. And you know what? It's funny, because, like, there was a certain point in the film where I thought... Is this so bad it's good? Is it at that point where it's so bad it's good? And you know what sucks the most about this movie? Is it's not. It's right in that middle.
You can't really
it's
laugh
so
at it.
Bland. It, yeah. It's just bland and flavorless.
Well, it's because there's a lot of scenes where... okay. The Charlie character, who's the one who's been burned alive because he's infected, suddenly becomes a super creature that can do things.
Oh my God.
And after they kill it, there's never really any mention of why he's a super creature or what that has to do with anything.
Nope.
He's just a menace. That's all he is. He's a menace to increase tension, but when that happens, when there's this weird alien attack thing, you're like, is this a different movie? What's happening right now?
You know what? If it had two poop jokes, I would be convinced this was written by a 10-year-old.
It's just, you know what it is? It's every plot stereotype that you could possibly imagine in your life shoved into one package.
It's trying so hard to be a decent science fiction monster piece of film.
Do you know how much money it made?
None.
$400 million.
I hate the world. Shame on all of you who supported this. Actually, we did. We supported this.
No, we told people to go buy it on iTunes. I take it back.
Don't buy this movie.
Don't give them any money. See if you can find it in a garbage bin and then watch it. Because that's where it's going to all end up.
A big landfill. This is what's disappointing, is that I see films like this and I see how much effort went into that. And
oh my God, there was so much that you wanted to like about it. Like we said before, visually it's stunning. The technology that they use and stuff and the imagery.
And it's gritty. And the characters have a lot of potential. You just never learn anything about them to give a shit about. Like, there wasn't one death scene I gave a shit about. And there's this one scene
where I was too confused about who was dying.
Yeah. There's this one scene where Elizabeth Shaw, I think main character, she almost dies and then she doesn't die. And what you're supposed to feel there, you can tell with the way they do the music and the lighting, you're supposed to be like, oh, she's dead. Oh, good, she's alive. And you're like, I don't think she died. Yeah, she didn't die. That's exactly how you feel. You're like, oh, crap, she didn't die.
I thought they would.
I just want this fucking movie to be over.
When that ship crashed, that's when they should have just ended the movie. It's over.
I think the movie should have been over when she had the C-section. She should have bled to death in that room. The end.
Yeah, she should have been eaten by that weird alien majiggy.
I hated this movie so much.
Yeah, and then and at the end, like we said before, it did the Revenge of the Sith thing by just throwing the alien part of you.
Like slapping right at the it end. In your face like a half-flaccid penis.
Like as if you could believe that all of the events that had happened had led to this alien creature. And you're just like,
you
no.
just feel, you leave it feeling raped, like just shaking and upset and violated, like you need to have a shower. I wish we would have shut it off halfway through. I really do.
We had to suffer through it. We had free tickets because of it. And we took some friends out for a nice movie is what we did with those tickets. And in retrospect, had we actually gone to the theater after, I think bad things would have happened. I think that I would have just have a conniption.
I give this film 2 stars because it's pretty.
It's pretty.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I think I have no idea why it has a seven rating. I find that mind boggling. I feel like those people have never seen it. I feel like those are the same people that liked the prequels.
Well, what did I ask you before? Is like, is writing dead? Can people not write things
what
anymore?
What a horrible
what's happening?
Piece of shit.
It's just awful. So many talented people that can't come up with something that's good. I don't understand what's happening.
This is seriously worrying to me. I am genuinely worried.
It's like, is art culture garbage now? Is this what it is?
And here's the other thing. The people who made this had the balls to make it 2 hours. They watched it and thought, yeah, no, there's no way we can edit this down to 1 hour and 20 minutes, which is what is reasonable for a film to be. There's no way that there is 40 minutes of content that isn't vital to the narrative here. Are you serious?
Yeah,
you
the captain, the captain, the Charlize Theron, let's have sex, gone.
90% of the scenes could have been cut. I think 90% I can edit this movie together and make it good if it's 15 minutes long.
I think that you actually have to cut it because what happens is that a lot of scenes change the pace so thoroughly that you lose track of what's happening. There's so many, like, they try to introduce one-dimensional characters so much at you because I guess they're like, well, we have to kill a bunch of people. I think here's the general problem, right? Perhaps the fact that movies suck now is you make this assumption that you're like, I can't have a movie where only 2 people die. Because how there wouldn't be enough tension or there wouldn't be enough this. Our idea now is that
the way to make tension
is to produce more tension moments. And I'm like, no, it's not. Tension requires buildup.
Here's another
problem.
Okay,
that's really what tension is all about.
Do you remember the last Transformers movie that was, Terminator?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I hated about the last Terminator? There's a lot to hate, but what I hated, what rang through was that there's not one single attempt to make a joke.
Oh.
People don't realize in writing now that, you know why we like characters? Because we empathize with them, and a big important part of empathy is little jokes. Break the tension with a joke. Don't break the tension by, like, abandoning that scene.
Well, you know what? Here's a good example. You could rile up a moment, you know, like the way they normally do, where the stakes are high, things are happening, music's going, and all of a sudden main character turns to the other and be like, this is pretty fucked up. Or, you know, like, just launches a joke, and then you could just sort of like, ha, And then boom, launch into the scene, and everyone would be like, oh, wow, they're human. They're out there, and they're just like, wow, this is pretty messed up.
Name
this is
one, I will give you $100.
Name one human moment in the entire
time. No. Name one attempt at any kind of comedy, one. I'll give you $100.
Yeah, I'm going to take that. When the captain was trying to make a joke with his accordion, and he's like, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with.
There's no way that was an attempt at humor.
You gave me a challenge and I answered it.
I don't think
that
counts.
Give me my $100.
That does not count.
In our shared income. Give it to me now.
That I don't think for a second that counts. That is not a joke. That is not a joke.
Another character leaves the room.
Okay, let's leave it up to your fans. Fine. A character is in a room by himself and he sings a lyric from a song. And the lyric is, if you can't have the one you love.
He's making a sexy joke. He's like, I'm going to be loving her tonight.
That is not a fucking joke.
Well, it is a joke as far as the movie's concerned.
It's not a joke.
It's an attempt.
Under no circumstances is that a joke. Did you laugh? Did you even think it was a joke in the moment?
There were moments where I did want to laugh.
I wanted to cry a lot. That was about it. I wanted to cry at the loss of cinema in our country.
Well, you know, the truth is... I can't
talk about this anymore. No? I am so upset. I cannot... This franchise is so important to me.
It's over.
I did like the last Aliens movies. This is how much I care about Aliens movies.
Those were awful. She liked the Aliens 3 movie?
I didn't love it.
Well, whatever. Did you like the Aliens Resurrection movie? But Luc Besson, your French sci-fi boyfriend, made it.
I didn't mind it. I like this franchise.
Is it because I told you Luc Besson made it?
Yeah. No, I can't hate anything he makes. I love you, Luc Besson.
You made so many movies I care about.
Oh my God, you're just the best. Ugh, I can't. This movie was so fucking bad. And the religious undertones were like, they weren't even that annoying because they weren't even effective.
Well, actually, the problem was you couldn't actually understand what was happening. Like, there was one scene in which the Charlize Theron character trying to insinuate that her father, that you don't know is really her father, is a superstitious man, right? I thought what they were going to do right there was they were going to make it so that everyone is an atheist, except for a few people who are just the believers or whatever. And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I'd be okay with a kind of movie that even tried to say, like, oh, in a world of unbelief, there's still room for faith, blah, blah, blah. Because you know what? At least there... you could have a narrative. Maybe I don't agree with the fucking thing, but you know, it's a movie world, and you're not supposed to agree with the movie world physics. It works on its own, but if it works as a movie, I can forgive a movie that even tries to make that whole faith is okay if you can make me an interesting goddamn movie.
You know what I think it felt like? It felt like a terrible movie with a little bit of religion embroidered on the corners. Like, it wasn't...
It felt like that's what they were trying to appeal to someone that was religious. Be like, I'm going to dangle Jesus in your face when the entire movie... The entire movie, even the creationism part of it, would destroy your mythology. There's no reason to respect it because, in a sense, it's never actually dealt with. It's that conversation where, like, I believe it because I choose to believe it, and you're like, no, there's no room for Jesus in this fucking movie, except for maybe you're hoping that some Christian lovers are going to be like, hey, there's a cross in there. Fucking go see that movie. The character loves Jesus at the end because the android is driving her to an alien planet that she's going to attack?
It was embarrassing.
I guess.
It was a tragic...
What's she going to do in that? Is she going to sleep alien. In that ship? That ship that's designed for giant alien weirdos? Creatures that are so CG and bubbly.
Nothing
and penis-y.
Makes sense.
It hurts your brain. I can understand why someone who saw the movie demanded that we shit all over it. And I do want to apologize for the amount of time that it took to do that. But I hope that there's still parts of the movie that bugged you that were present enough that our pooping on this movie at least made your day. Because I needed to vent about that. We're going to spend the next 2 hours watching Venture Brothers to heal the
wounds. I feel like I need to watch Star Trek. I feel like Venture Brothers couldn't even fix this.
Oh, yeah. You
know
what? Yeah. That's brilliant. Let's watch some good sci-fi.
I need to see a good sci-fi. Like, guys.
A sci-fi that respects the people watching it.
Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing, people who made fucking Prometheus. Do you realize that sci-fi is a genre where you can do impossible things so long as you just, like, there are just so many magical outs they could have had. You know, she goes into a healing chamber, and then
there's
all
a lot of possibilities.
And it's a lot
chamber.
Of laser, crazy laser thing.
It could be anything.
That would have been fine. We would have believed that, you know, she can wander around after having a cesarean section, but no, they made it like spinny, bladey saw things with a pinchy, clampy thing. Do you even know what sci-fi is? Like, did you... What? This genre is so rich. You could have just stole
shit. You could have just been imaginative.
There's no reason why this movie had to be this terrible.
The movie is aesthetically pleasing, but has no imagination. Because even in everything that you see, your complaint, Carissa, was like, it looks like stuff you could just have right now. There was almost too much of a this worldiness to it, where it just, you couldn't feel disconnected. There was no vision of the future. There was no what I call future crafting, right? Where you just imagine an impossible world that human beings want to live in. And you know what human beings do when you imagine impossible worlds? They're like, I want to live in it.
Can I say my favorite thing?
What?
This is my favorite stupid thing. I love this thing. So 20 minutes into the movie, they encounter this alien corpse, which has been sitting there for 2,000 years and hasn't degraded. It's just perfectly preserved alien corpse. And she stabs it with, like, a turkey-basty thing.
Oh, it's so deep.
And it's totally... It looks exactly like the thing you use to find out if a turkey's cooked all the way to the middle. And she just stabs it. This is a biologist, by the way. An archaeologist, a biologist, somebody who would care about something like this. Just stabs it. That's fine. And she can carbon date it. Do you know how fucking carbon dating works? How... This is an alien creature. You
it's an
can't
alien creature.
Carbon date.
Yeah, here's the
idiot.
It's like you're an alien creature in a solar system that may have a completely different age than our own, right? A completely different makeup.
Okay. Or when David says, how long have you been sleeping? What does he say? Two years. 2 years, 3 weeks,
something.
You know, 18 days and 36 hours. I'm sorry. So these aren't Earth hours? Are we going by the planet we're on now?
What you didn't know is that in the future, we slow down time. We
to
slow
a
down the rotation.
Hour clock?
Yep. That's right.
Do they even try? Like, that's something that would have been found instantly in a script revision.
Here's what they did. They used all of the kinetic force that would be needed to stop the planet's rotation by that much to launch the spaceship into space.
I want
space magic.
I want everybody who did any narrative work on the script to write a signed affidavit saying, I promise to never create...
No, they're making a sequel.
Oh, my God.
They're making a sequel. Well, why wouldn't they? Number one, it doubled its budget in terms of profit. And this is a for-profit industry. You know, they call it the movie industry. And it really does feel like they're just pumping shit out. just constant replicants of content that
please
used to be good.
Please don't go see the sequel.
That they can still... Well, you know, I feel their pain because, you know what? The future is really frightening for content producers. Here's what's frightening about it, right? We live in a world in which content is ever-growing, but people's attention span and even their time of the day doesn't increase. Maybe that's why hours are 36 in the future, because there's just so much you can absorb that there really is no time. You've got to shove whatever you can that's recognizable in today's media so that people want to see it. So if you have a storied franchise like the Alien franchise, you're like, okay, I want to make a story that's maybe not alien-y, but the only way that I can do that and make money is by throwing iconography at you at this furious pace. This furious pace so that you think you're actually, you know, watching an alien movie or that you have some connection to this nostalgic past where,
you know,
things
what?
Used to be good.
This is what crushes me. If we have babies, okay?
Babies.
There is so little from this generation to show them.
I couldn't even show them any movies from 2000, like the 2000 to 2010.
Yeah.
In
the last decade, what movie would you want? Would you think, like, I'm talking about classics. What movie would they need to see?
Right.
I can't think of anything. From the 10 years before that, I can think of 15 off the top of my head. That's embarrassing, okay? We should be fucking embarrassed. And you know whose fault that is? That's our fault.
I know. We keep buying that stuff.
Saw that fucking movie. You guys need to start getting motivated and just being like, getting vengeful.
Yeah, you should boycott a lack of talent. That's what you should do.
Totally. You know, like, I get that a date, like, going to a date to the movies is nice, but if there's nothing to go see, find something else to do. We need an alternative. We need more arcades. Because we need to be able to boycott these terrible,
Just do more drugs.
We have nothing.
Stay home and do drugs.
This is our legacy that we're giving to our next generation. This is our narrative legacy, and there's nothing.
These stories
are terrible. Avatar? I didn't really think Avatar was that good.
No. The truth is, it's gotten to a point where the visuals are what take precedence. And, you know, in a sense, it kind of makes sense. We are visual creatures, and that's what we're exploiting now. We can create such beautiful visuals that you can forget that there's no story. But you get saturated by beautiful imagery, and you're like, I'm so upset. I need a story now.
This show needs to be over. I want to get drunk. I want to watch Star Trek. I want somebody to pet my head.
Tell you it's going to be all right.
I want to maybe have some junk food. I want to go to bed. If I had Ativan, I would have some. I'm so pissed at this film. I'm so incredibly disappointed.
All right. We're going to watch some good science fiction. With that, we're going to wrap up the show, everybody.
So mad.
I think that I've pretty much pushed her to her limit. So I apologize to anybody whose day we've actually ruined. And I also apologize for the lateness of the podcast, by the way. I was hungover as shit on Tuesday from wine, which I don't normally drink.
On Thanksgiving.
So that was...
We had a boozy Thanksgiving.
We had a boozy Thanksgiving.
Kids. Don't do what we do.
Yeah, don't...
You'll end up a podcaster.
Yeah, I know. You'll end up a podcaster. You don't want to do that. I'd like to thank everybody that's a contributing member. If you are not, please, we require you to become hardcore members now. For those of you that love the show, think that we've been doing a great job, well, you can show your love by becoming a hardcore subscriber. There is no more $20 option that has been removed.
What do you get if you become a hardcore subscriber?
You get a backlog of all our shows, which is now over 200 episodes. Actually, I'm sorry, 270 episodes that are now backlogged and growing every freaking day. So you get a lot of content for becoming a hardcore member. And that's the way that we keep this fucking puppy rolling.
And you know
rolling.
What else you get? You What's get that? Our love.
So much love.
So much love.
You're part of the elite. We love you.
And you now know what it sounds like to get our hate. It's bad.
You don't want us to hate you.
We have a high capacity for hate. Especially when you pee all over our science fiction.
When you destroy the iconography of our lives.
You know what else sucks? Is that right now I'm reading 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And then to watch something like this, where you're just like, this is the same genre? This, like, How is this the same genre?
This better science fiction was written in, 1800s. The 19th century.
The people who made this should be embarrassed. So embarrassed. Oh my god. They should show up for algebra class naked embarrassed. That's what I think.
They're slowly destroying
shame on you.
All of our cultural achievements.
Shame. That's what they're doing. For shame on you.
Now, let's end
for
the
letting
though.
This
right.
happen.
But we want you to have a good day.
Have a good day.
So with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm still very disappointed, Carissa Hendricks.
Have a good atheist day, everybody.